Let's go to hour number three. Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. We are live in Southern California, and the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide you with a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so the hour sets up like this. Phone lines are open right now. I've got Andy Isabella, an Arizona Cardinals wide receiver, coming up next segment. 1-800-636-8686. I didn't think I'd make it to hour number three before getting to this, but I did. But let's get to it. Brennan Miller had himself a day yesterday. Now, do you know that name? Maybe not. Who is Brennan Miller? He is the umpire who was working behind the plate at Yankee Stadium in the first game of a doubleheader between Tampa Bay and New York. Miller is a rookie umpire. He made his MLB debut back in April, but he got his baptism yesterday. That was his official welcome to the show moment, and it made for one of the more amazing moments of the Major League season. The first inning and a half did not go especially well. Gary Sanchez, who was catching for the Yankees, did not think very much of how Miller was calling that game. He made that obvious. So obvious that he turned around and he flat out looked at Miller at one point in the first. Then in the bottom of the second, Miller rang up Brett Gardner on a 1-2 pitch. Gardner did not think much of that, and he went back to the dugout and started smashing his bat. He slammed it 9 times off the bat rack. He then went next level by hitting it 8 times off the roof in the dugout. But that Brett Gardner versus inanimate object scene was nothing compared to the beating the Yankees manager Aaron Boone was about to put on the umpire. Roll it.
You know what I noticed during the course of the year? That Aaron Boone is not afraid to say something to an umpire on bad pitches. Or bad, just, see, right now. Let's go.
Really bad start.
It just eats at you because you don't know what would have happened if you had a thing. And now you make a mistake, now I'll throw you out.
I know that that was a little hard to decipher, but holy crap. First off, let's give a huge round of applause to the geniuses who are working in microphone technology these days. Again, kind of hard to decipher, but if you go to look for it someplace else, there's a cleaner version of it. I mean, if these women and these men are not busting their asses in the lab and on the manufacturing floor every single day, we don't get to hear that verbal murdering. And then my life would be poorer because of it, because I've never heard anything quite like that. I mean, sure, I've heard managers and umpires get into it, but I've never heard anything like that before. Did you hear what he just did? Did you hear what he just said? When Boone was in the dugout, he was initially heard yelling things like, "Bear down, let's go." Really bad start.
Really bad start.
Really bad start.
Really bad start.
Now, when I heard that, I thought that he was yelling at his own players. You know, trying to motivate guys to lock in at the plate after a slow start. A really bad start to the game. But he was not talking to his players. He was yelling at the rookie ump. Telling the rookie ump, bear down behind the plate. Now, if you're an umpire, I'm not sure it gets any more humiliating than a manager talking to you like that. Saying what he said, but talking to you like that. Telling you to bear down. Telling you to start focusing. You know, like you're some 12-year-old kid playing pony instead of a grown-ass man pulling an MLB paycheck and working behind the plate in a Yankee game. Boone could not have humiliated this guy any more than he did. If you're Miller, frankly, I'm not sure you come back from something like that. That's going to stick to that guy forever. He may even want to consider a career change. Man, that is so demeaning. That is so patronizing. It's incredible. Boone wrecked this guy. Any ump worth his salt would rather have a manager F-bomb him up and down than have the manager humiliate Miller the way he just did. And even worse, Miller just yelled back, "I heard you, Aaron." "Yeah, I got it, Aaron." Like the two of them are actually peers and they're having a conversation or a dialogue about his performance. And then when he got tossed, Boone, things got really interesting. When Boone got tossed, things really got going. Run that part, Alvin. It's so incredible. Quote, my guys are bleeping savages in that bleeping box, right? And you're having a piece of bleep start to this game. I feel bad for you, but bleeping get better. That's an amazing statement. Quote, my guys are bleeping savages in that bleeping box, right? And you're having a piece of bleep start to this game. I feel bad for you, but bleeping get better. And then he's clapping at him as he walks off. Look, there are a few things more tired than somebody calling something or somebody a savage. On fleek thinks that savage is done. Turnt thinks savage is basic. Basic is played as well. Like, you might think you're cool when you're saying something is savage, but you sound like those Toledo broadcasters who try to use every piece of lingo to sound cool. It is a tired way. Go ahead, Albie.
Oh,
goals.
Get that Gucci breakfast.
A hundo P chance of success.
Slay all day.
It's a tired way of sounding tough and cool, but I'll be honest. Boone was able to inject a little bit of life into it. For a brief moment, it sounded decent once again. I mean, I've got no idea what it means to be a bleeping savage in the batter's box. How exactly does one savagely take a pitch or work the count? Is that even a thing? Who cares? Whatever. My man's feeling it. He's letting it rip. And don't sleep on that moment when he points to Tampa's pitcher and says, that guy's a good pitcher. But our guys are bleeping savages in that box. Our guys are savages in that bleeping box. Tighten it up right now, okay? Like, their pitcher is good. My hitters are bleeping savages and you suck. Get your bleep together. And then this simple gem, quote, you're having a piece of bleep start to this game. I feel bad for you, but effing get better. By the way, if any of you are looking for a new ringtone or an alarm sound, there it is, right there. I feel bad for you, but bleeping get better. Download that, install that, and bleeping get better. In fact, that's my message for you clones going into the weekend. My message is the same as his. I feel bad for you clones, but bleeping get better. Hey, clones, you're having a piece of bleep start to your summer. I feel bad for you, but bleeping get better. I feel bad for you clones. I'm a savage in this box, but you've had a bleeping horrible 2 hours. Bleeping get better, clones. That was amazing. Aaron Boone going out to talk to the umpire and telling him, my guys are savages and you've had a horrible start to this game. A bleeping terrible start. Get better. And then clapped at him. Good luck living that down, Blue. Good luck living it down. Albie, how's that week that was coming? How is it coming? We're not there yet. Still ahead on the program, some Arizona Cardinals football. Andy Isabella will be joining us. Cardinals football, Cardinals baseball. We had Justin Leonard from Northern Ireland back in hour number one. And again, going into the weekend, don't do it right now. Wait until after the program. Do it on your commute. Do it during your workout. Or do it this weekend. But make sure you find episode 89 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Todd Furman. We talk sports gambling.
89.
Ep 89. We now have 89. Podcast Wednesday. We dropped that podcast. It used to drop on Tuesdays. Now it drops on Wednesdays. Todd Furman was this past Wednesday. Next Wednesday, Terry Bradshaw is going to be my guest. And then I've got a vacation again. The 2 week run. Got to get one of those 2 week jobs in every year.
2 weeks!
Dude, your head's big. Watch that camera. Now they're messing with you. The camera's moving in. Like that camera was coming for James Kelly.
Here we are.
Dan in Denver. It's been a while. It's been more than a minute. Dan in Denver tweets, my guys are bleeping savages in the box. Regards, Ira defending his neighborhood. It's terrible, Dan. That's not going to get you in a smack off. Watch your head, bro. Flight deck only in the house on Fridays. Good work if you can get it. Chris in St. Pete tweets, I believe Bill Shakespeare once said, a penis is mightier than a sword. Signed, Matt Nagy.
Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some penis and Cracker Jack.
Hey, jerk. The pen is mightier than the sword. Not penis. Jerk. Nagy probably wants to have that one back. Pauly T. Wall on Twitter. Brennan baptism by straight fire for Miller. All right. Anybody else want to participate? The pen is mightier than the sword. You know, Alvin, you don't need to slow that down. We heard him. The call was already upheld, Alvin, on the field. We don't need to hear that again. All right, so we'll come right back. Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Andy Isabella joins me next. Alvin will have his week that was at the bottom of the hour. Yeah, I would love to get somebody a golden ticket before the end of this hour. I would love to give away one of these things before I take that vacation. So you're on the clock. Hit us up. We'll come right back. Andy Isabella is next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Those pros are high on fire. Quick reminder, you want to think O'Reilly and Auto Parts. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alvin's week that was. Coming up next segment, he's putting the finishing touches on that. We are efforting Andy Isabella because he's a member of the Arizona Cardinals. There is no doubt in my mind he will be there because they're legendary. The Arizona Cardinals are an absolutely amazing jungle team. If I were to sit down and think about all the great teams that we deal with in the various sports, I could probably give you 15 or 20 teams, pro and college alike. I'm not sure anybody's better than the Arizona Cardinal football team, so I know we're going to run him down. Meantime, I've got a moment or two. Let's go to Los Angeles. Fabian. Fabian, what's up?
Good morning, Romy. You know, I kind of feel like you're playing a, you know, I need you guys to understand, I'm a very sentimental person, right? So, anyways, dude, look, let's get to the, you know, you got a minute, you said, so let's do that, eh? We need you, I need you. Like I told you last time, dude, we need that Dodger bullpen needs a little bit of a little help here, huh? You know, we need a little caramel, baby. The thing is this, I wanted to clarify, not really like clarify, in a way, clarify. Okay, the Hennessy's Dana Point appearance over there. Well, not appearance, but you know, the little the smack off 25 watch party. You know, so I mean, if I put it on, Eric prepared. You know, so I bought me a little 12 pack of Negra Modelo. You know, and I had to go out. My lady took me out there at 5 in the morning. You know, she had to go to work. Ouch. You know, so, you know, I had to, you know, hide some beer and I had forgotten about them. I put it on Periscope, the whole deal, right? So anyways, the deal is that, I mean, you could ask a few clones around, dude. It's not like I was like leeching, dude. I, as a matter of fact, at Hennessy's, I'm pretty sure I bought the first little round, you know, like, hey, let's get it going. Boom. I bought the first round, bro. You know, not a problem.
Bro, did I in some way do you wrong? Did I accuse you of something? What are we talking about here, Fabian?
Him, we were drinking outside. And, you know, I never got kicked out of the place. I wasn't allowed to go back in. That was the thing. But it was beautiful because, you know what? I met Silk Bro.
All right. So let me respond to this, Fabian. Thank you. You know, I think what you're saying is,
okay.
I know what's going on. There was a watch party. You went to the watch party. It sounds as if you got thrown out of the watch party, and you want to set the record straight.
But you know what?
I think. I'm not sure. I mean, dude, I listened to you. I gave you a lot of run. I'm not sure what you were trying to get at. I'm not sure what you were suggesting.
Nope.
Anyway, what's poppin', Twitter? We're joined right now by a wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. He was a Biletnikoff Award finalist last year. Led FBS with 1,698 total receiving yards, an average of 141.5 receiving yards per game last season, 231 receptions for 3,526 yards and 30 touchdowns in college. He was the 62nd pick overall in this year's draft out of UMass. Arizona has their preseason opener against the Chargers on August 8th, right around the corner. Andy Isabella is my guest. Andy, it's good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you. All right, so rookies have reported for camp. What's it been like for you so far? How is life?
We're just getting back into things. Just doing some easy walkthroughs and workouts, getting ready for the older guys to come back and start practice next week.
All right, so it's been a little under 3 months since you were drafted. What's that time been like, for instance, in terms of joining the Cardinals, getting the playbook, installing the offense, and everything else that comes along with it?
It's been awesome. It's everything I could have dreamed of, playing the NFL and stuff. And it's been a lot of time to take in, but taking it day by day and just focus on getting better and focus on what I can do each day.
Andy Isabella joining us. So the team's coming off kind of a tough year last year, but you got a new head coach. You have a lot of new faces on the staff. There's a lot of young talent. Like, what's the vibe like around that team right now?
It doesn't seem like it would be a bad team last year from everyone's energy and stuff. I mean, the energy's always great. From coming in, you can't really tell. It was a bad team, and I think we're poised for a good year this year.
All right, so what's it been like to work with head coach Cliff Kingsbury so far?
It's been fun. He's a lot of energy and keeps things moving fast, so it's fun working with him.
Speaking of fast, I would ask you about what it's like to work with Kyler Murray, but before I get to that, let me ask you about a race that was held between you and Murray. There seems to be some controversy about who won that race. Who was the winner as you saw it?
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to make him mad.
Come on now, man. So, like, how did that race go? What happened?
I was beating everyone on another line, and then He thought he wanted a race, so I was like, I was getting bored racing the other guys, so I went and started standing next to him. And he was talking trash, and then I started smoking him, and then he was getting mad, and then that was the only one that he came close to with. But he's fun competing with, he's fun being around. We were just out there having fun with each other.
All right, then. So speed aside, and you touched on it, but what are your early impressions of Murray and what he's been like as a quarterback and a teammate in the early going?
He's been awesome. I mean, it's definitely number one overall draft pick, someone that you look up to. I mean, someone that when he does something, everyone else around him kind of follows. And I think he's in that role, and he knows it, and he's done a great job for us.
Andy Isabella is my guest. You know, camp's interesting. There's always some weird things or funny things that happen. Early on, you were making the trip from the rookie hotel to the facility on a bike. How did that come to be?
I actually moved out of the hotel. I got a little apartment, but I didn't have a car to get there, so I had a bike. but that got old really quick. It was like a mile and a half ride. I mean, this doesn't sound that long, but when you're driving home after you've been there since 6 a.m., or you have to get up at 5 a.m. just to get there and ride the bike a mile and a half, and then when you're leaving at 6 p.m. or 7 p.m., yeah, it was usually 7 p.m. we were leaving on a bike, and it's 100 degrees out. It's not that fun.
No, dude, I was going to say, if that's a 12-hour work day and you're putting in the time, and like in Arizona, it's probably like 150 degrees at 6 p.m., I bet that would get pretty old. So you decide to upgrade from the bike to a car. What kind of a car did you end up with, and why?
Well, I was originally going to get just a little car, but then they said I could get the same car for the same price. I could get a Camaro for the same price. So I ended up getting a Camaro. Still pretty cheap. I'm not trying to save all my money. I'm doing pretty good with that.
Dude, hell yeah, Camaro. Like, so tell me about the Camaro. What's that car like? Some American muscle right there.
Yeah, I always wanted a sports car growing up, so I guess I treated myself a little and kept it in means that it wasn't, I got a 2012, so it wasn't like I was buying a brand new one, but...
Dude, you're being responsible. SYM, save your money. Andy Isabella joining us. Now, if we go back, you mentioned growing up, the types of things you were thinking about. You're from Ohio. One of your brothers, Nick, said your favorite hobby was to call a local sports radio show as LeBron Jameson. Is it true? And what kind of things would you call about?
That's why we would, me and my brother, we caddied every summer, and we would get bored. We would sit there all day, and we would get pretty bored sometimes, so we would call 92.3 the fan. We would be like, we would say we were LeBron Jameson, and then they usually hang up pretty quick. But we would hear it on the, we would have the radio playing next to us, so we would hear us say LeBron Jameson on the radio because it would be a live show. And then we would hang up really quick, and then we got our that's how we got our entertainment. We started catching on pretty quick, though.
That's how we got our entertainment. Man, you should have been calling me as LeBron Jameson. I would have taken that phone call. Given the calls that I get on this show, I would have taken that call back in the day. Now, you played your high school ball in Mayfield High School, but the story goes you didn't have any FBS offers roughly a week before signing day, and then you drop a 6'7", 260-meter in an indoor track meet, the fastest time in the country at that point of the indoor season. What do you remember about that run, and then UMass contacting you afterwards? What happened?
I remember the run, actually, and then I didn't really know what I did at that point, but then about a couple hours, or when I woke up the next morning, I was getting a bunch of text messages and stuff about how it was the best time in the country at that point and stuff like that, and I was helping a friend on the track team, and his dad coached at another school, and he had a lot of connections, and almost got me an Oklahoma State offer, and Oklahoma State was going to fly me out one of the next day to go down there, but then that didn't end up going through, so then I had nothing, and then about a week later, he calls me and says, I finally got you a scholarship to UMass. And I had one other, Air Force offer and a couple FCS offers, but ended up taking a blind shot at UMass and ended up working out pretty well for me.
Yeah, that blind shot. So the head coach there, Mark Whipple, calls you up after that 6'7", 2. He offers you the scholarship. At that point, how much did you know about that football program? How much did you know about it when you accepted the offer?
I didn't even know UMass existed until Coach Rotsky was the guy who got me, knew Coach Whipple. He was coaching over at Cleveland Heights at the time. He's at Euclid now, and he said, "I got he's a Division I school." He said, "That's all I needed to hear."
I mean, dude, this is amazing. Like, all you did is lead FBS in receiving last year. You became a Biletnikoff Award finalist. When you have a career like that, the one you had at UMass, and you put up numbers like the ones you had against Florida or Mississippi State or Georgia and just about every other big-time program you faced, is there any part of you that wants to say to all of them, "How do you all like me now?"
I mean, yeah, that's how I felt going into those games for sure. But I'm happy I ended up at UMass. I think it was a good fit for me. And Coach Whipple used me well, and I had fun playing with Coach. And I'm excited now for the future.
Let me ask you this. Like, your work ethic is the stuff of legend. There's a story from January of 2017. After a big snowstorm dumped 26 inches on campus, you went out, you shoveled enough of the field so you could work out. The strength coach at that time said, quote, "There was a wind chill of minus 10. He's all layered up. He had a sled with him, so he's going to tow the sled and do sprints on a Sunday in January after shoveling 40 yards worth of snow." I always bring up that moment because that's when I understood this cat was different. Yeah, he's talented. Yeah, he's fast, but that's when I realized he's on another level, end quote. You know, that kind of praise from a strength and conditioning coach is almost unheard of. Where did the mentality and the mindset come from?
To be honest, I was just bored up at UMass. I didn't really know too many people up there, so I was just spend my time working out. That's what I like doing. So, I mean, on Sunday afternoon, I was bored. I wanted to get a workout in, and usually coach would have the field plowed, but he didn't plow it that day, and he kind of made fun of me, like, "Hey, you can't work out now." So he had a shovel in his locker. So I told him, "I'll screw it. I'm gonna shovel the field." He didn't believe me until he went out there and saw me shoveling it.
Good story. Andy Isabella joining us. I like that. Now, back in June, you and fellow rookie Keyshawn Johnson were roommates at the Rookie Hotel. Like, what's the Rookie Hotel like? What was that experience like, and how was he as a roommate?
Oh, Keyshawn's awesome. I mean, he's you know, when you room with a guy, you think sometimes they're going to be a goofy goofball, or they're not going to be on the same amount of commitment as you are. But Keyshawn, I mean, right from the bat, he's always committed to going to sleep on time, getting up early, and doing all the right things. And that's someone who I like rooming with. And So he was an awesome roommate. I mean, he has the same focus as me, has the same ambition, same goals. And I think he has a big chip on his shoulder too. And we're both got a lot to prove. And the rookie hotel, I mean, there's not much there. you got two beds and there's no kitchen or nothing. So you're kind of on your own.
Andy Isabella is my guest. You know, you mentioned what it was like growing up and the kind of thoughts you had. And then finally, there's this famous photo of you from a Thanksgiving football game back in 09. In that photo, you're rocking a Larry Fitzgerald jersey. Now you and the old head are teammates. I mean, what's that like?
It's kind of crazy. I never even saw that. I didn't realize I had a Larry Fitzgerald jersey. I forgot I had one. But I think that's pretty cool. I mean, he invited us up to his house to run some routes. So that was awesome experience. He's been awesome to everyone. I mean, it's been fun learning from him.
Dude, I've told the story before, but he is such a good dude and one of the best to ever do it. I mean, a really, really nice guy, but he could talk a lot of junk. Like, how long were you around him before he just started talking junk? I mean, I've seen him in restaurants. I'm a media guy, and he'll get up in my grill and just start talking junk about me.
Yeah, he talks some crap sometimes, but I mean, when he's being serious and when you need it. He knows when to be serious and when to joke around. That's for sure.
For sure. He was the 62nd pick overall in the draft out of UMass, and the Cards are going to open up their preseason against the Chargers on August 8th. Andy Isabella, my guest. Andy, good to have you on the program. Nice jungle run. Good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
Have a great day. Andy Isabella, Cardinal fan. Jungle, great jungle team aside, you've got some weapons now. You've got some nice weapons around Kyler. Isabella, Larry Fitzgerald, David Johnson, Christian Kirk, Akeem Butler, maybe Kevin White. You've got Kingsbury's offense. It's a really exciting time in the desert, man. They are going to spread that ball around. I love it, man. They're going to be so fun. They're going to be a blast. When we return, your last segment, Alvin's week that was. Some final thoughts, a huge call, the ATP. And more. Here's your last sports update, as far as I'm concerned, of the week. Alvin's week that was coming up momentarily. I do owe you an ATP. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Andy Isabella, he's a funny kid. He can fly. This guy can flat out fly. If he's beating Kyler Murray, allegedly, he didn't want to own that. I've got a feeling that's how that went. If he's beating Kyler Murray, you know he can fly. If he's running a 4-3-1, you know he can fly. If he beat Denzel Ward in high school, you know he can fly. Man, I wish he had called this show. Hawk be like, Jim Rome Show. Yeah, Hawk, this is LeBron Jameson. Put me through to Rome. Because that's how we used to entertain ourselves. They would hang up on us. Yeah, I don't know if Fitz wants to test him. At least not in a race. ATP. Jimothy Rome Slice. I don't think you've covered this, but what kind of commute time are you logging on a daily basis? We all hear about the legendary California traffic. So, are you sitting in it Monday through Friday? And for how long? How do you pass the time in the rig? Signed, Aaron in Anchorage. All right, so how do I pass the time in the rig? I text. I listen to podcasts. I listen to other sports talk. I do not have a long commute. I'm not wired for that. Now, I will say, the other day after the show, I live south of Los Angeles. I'm a Los Angeles native. I grew up in Los Angeles. I no longer live there. I live south thereof. I went up there for a meeting the other day. Coming back took 2 hours. A 2-hour commute from LA to the office. Not even LA to my house. LA to the office. My front door to the office in the morning is about 20 minutes. It's not bad at all. It's easy. Leaving when I leave, it's about 20 minutes. Going home, a little bit longer, but not bad. So I don't have any horror stories about the 405, the 101, the 10, because I set up my base of operations and I moved it south. Now, the other guys might have a different story for you. Alvy will have a different take. There's a reason why the flight deck only comes in once a week. Ike has been making the drive. Believe it or not, the dumbest guy on the staff, Hawk, did the smartest thing. He also moved his base of operations closer to the office. There is your ATP. Alvin, are you ready? I've been waiting all week for this, Alvin. Do it.
Hey, everyone. Let's get real for a few minutes.
Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had a great weekend. Nice to have you here on a Monday. The show sets up like this. I've got a telephone number. It is paid for. You get through Adam Hawk. You get the rotation. You get on the air. You get racked. Maybe you get a golden ticket. Find out about you. They follow you on Twitter. They check your social. And all of a sudden, you get yourself a little brand. I'm like the idol maker. I'm here to help you. You know how I feel about the sport of tennis. It's a sport that I go way back with.
Yeah! It's wrong.
Transmutated in a way.
Novak Djokovic.
Transmutation complete. Final thought, he had 15 Grand Slam titles already. So he didn't go legend yesterday. He was already a legend. We are going to drive across town to Brentwood and kick it with Andre and Brooke. Janet proceeds to tell me, we're not going to go all Hollywood. We are going to be real. And we're going to spend New Year's Eve with this couple and be among our best friends. Well, they're among your best friends, not mine. Elton Brand.
It's such an amazing sports town. And everywhere I go, like I take my wife to dinner and it's like, hey, can you do this trade? Hey, what's going on with this? EB this, EB that.
And like CP3, he's becoming more and more tone deaf by the possession. Imagine James Harden looking at him on the floor in a critical playoff game. Man. With you, it's always bleeping something. And so there's a whole lot of mutual respect there. Michael Malone is my guest.
And I'm not done growing. I constantly want to challenge myself to be the best coach that I can be, the best father that I can be, and the best husband that I can be.
Hey, John, you know how you will know your email is being read on this show? It will always begin with Beck going forward. I've taken it from Eric and given it to you. What an honor that must be. Loser.
How much longer will you have the mullet?
Brah. Don't ever suggest that there's going to be a day where that beaver paddle does not cover the back of his neck. The thought of him without a neck warmer makes me want to puke.
Makes me want to puke.
Francisco Lindor is my guest.
My team left and I wasn't there to be there with them. It is upsetting me. It sucks.
Nailed it.
All right. Nailed it. You might not be allowed to self-gloss, but you can self-gloss.
He glossed me.
This guy self-glossed. We are joined by Julie Ertz.
Finally settled down. I got some sleep. They're really good.
I bet.
Bro, who's making this?
Every single year, people take the bait. Reminds me of Trevor Price. Don't take the cheese.
Let Deshaun. Ooh, excuse me. You got to do that again.
Wrong. I'm from Cleveland, man. They call me Bobby Allsport.
Back to it. John and Cali.
I'm Denver John. Do you remember me when the Mighty 690?
I sure do, John. Bob in Calgary. Get me through the end of the hour. What's up?
I'm known as the horse whisperer.
Christian in Maine.
Hey, what's up, Romy? It's your main man here.
Alvin's got to be like, dude.
He's like trash man.
Lonnie Carter in Spokane.
Yeah.
Big Horn's falling off.
Jay Bizzle.
Manicure Girl over here.
Chuck Hall is Van City.
Lone Prophet.
The Grump.
The Grump.
Smoldoggy in NorCal.
Dougler. Zookeeper.
Roaster. Garbage Man. Brass. Cracker Jack.
G Money. Sexy Rexy from New Mexico.
The Red Dog.
Post Post. Tree Frog.
G Money.
B Man. SD.
Bow Down.
V Man.
Cotton Woman. Castilly Rabbit.
Barracuda.
The Muffle Shark.
Denver John. The Horse Whisperer.
Main Man here.
Franklin Session, my guest. One of the things you tell them is try to stay on the floor.
I will say, man, you have a lot of information. You hear just about everything, Jim.
He's a better NBA. Oh, hold on. Things heating up.
Drowning pool make everything better. Not only do I not want him to retire, I want him to keep playing long enough so that he can have a feud with the Rays in Tampa and Montreal. Steve Elkington.
He's gone full earth mode, mate.
Special coffee blend.
Well, you know what, Hefty? Maybe you want to dribble a little Frankenskank essential oil on your T-ball. Great white at four Big Macs. Just vacuum in six chocolate eclairs.
Taco Tuesday! Man, poor Alex Caruso. Probably watching Instagram last night, sitting all alone in a jack-in-the-box parking lot.
It's Tuesday somewhere.
DJ.
You do top five lists and you can do predictions, but like, look, everybody's just talking out of their butt.
That's right, John. Whenever you email your Eric and Paul Church impression, you'll hear Yakety Sax email behind, song behind your email. That's exactly who you are, John. Clown music for a clown person.
Take me out with the crowd.
Heard the head coach of the Chicago Bears sing the line, buy me some penis and Cracker Jack, then you're not alone. Alvin, don't get crazy on your week that was with that.
Ow!
we would say we were LeBron Jameson, and then they usually hang up pretty quick.
Belly bomb.
He's not done yet.
Always great being on with you, and I look forward to doing it again soon.
Bill Callahan type asshat.
Holy moly.
Greasy hot snake.
Motherf***ing snake.
Dermatology recommended.
I give him the Willie and Casey.
Giddy up, horse face.
Penis. But not today.
Good night now.
Alvin DeLauro, that's why it's iconic. So the cut line for the Open Championship is plus one. Rory has played his guts out. Rory is plus two, trying to somehow tear it up, light that track on fire, and make the cut. Great, Rory, way to clutch up in the second round after shooting yourself out of it on your tee shot to open the event. Of course, now he's a legend. It doesn't matter. This email is to Andy. Hey, Andy. Want to know how we used to entertain ourselves? With a little help from my friends. Regards, Sir Pull. Tommy from NC. I don't get that. We are running out of time, which is really unfortunate. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Manny Pacquiao, pay-per-view. Manny Pacquiao is boxing's only 8-division world champion. He's going to return to take on the hard-hitting, undefeated Keith, one-time Thurman. It's for the World Welterweight Championship. It's live from the MGM Grand. It's in Vegas tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can order it now live on pay-per-view. You can also get it from the Fox Sports app. I'm watching my guy David Duvall. Some of you ghouls are rooting for him to get to plus 30. He's going to clutch up like all the great ones do and not have it happen. Andy Isabella came in. We had Dakota Hudson. We had Justin Leonard. Want to thank the XR4TI for putting it out there. I'm going to work one more week, and then I've got a two-week vacation. So what do you say you show up next week? Let's get it. Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. See you next time. We're out.